If you've been looking for a quick overview of every burst or Nova damage build that I've done to date, maybe to help you decide which video to watch next or which build to try out for yourself, or if you're just interested in remembering all of the big kaboom characters that I've built over the years, then you are going to want to watch this video. Welcome to D4. Hey everybody, so here at D4, each week I do deep dives into character builds for my favorite role-playing games. Usually that means D&D, sometimes it means other games, but I like to crunch numbers about them, theorycraft about them, not so that I can tell you the right way or the best way to play a certain character, but to explore one potential way to build something that is hopefully both really fun but also really powerful to play. So if you enjoy creating characters for your role-playing games, almost as much as you enjoy playing the game itself, or if you're just looking for tips or ideas on how to build something that you're thinking about playing, then welcome home. This is where you belong, and I'm so glad you're here. So thank you for watching. My name's Colby. If you like what I do here, I would love it if you'd consider joining the channel as a member. There's a little button down there that says join. It's only like a couple, $3 a month, depending on what level you sign up at, and you can get access to the library of write-ups that I make for each of these builds to help you recreate the character yourself in-game if you want, or even access to our Discord server, or even access to our monthly Q&A hangout session with our members. If you click the button, it'll tell you about all the different options, and a huge shout out to my channel members. I could not do this without you guys. You're so awesome. And everybody else, you are also so awesome. Just watching and liking and subscribing is also a great way to support the channel. So thanks for just being here. Right. So a few weeks ago, I put out my 2023 build ranking video going over all of my sustained damage dealing builds. Builds that can do high damage each and every round for at least one entire combat encounter. Anyways, watch that video if you missed it. But today, we're going to go over the Nova or Burst damage characters. I'll admit, though building sustained damage dealers tends to be my favorite way to build characters for this channel, there's just something about high, reliable, like round over round damage that just appeals to my boring, plodding nature, I suppose. Over time, I've become more and more enamored with burst damage dealers. Not only because it's just a ton of fun to throw hundreds of damage down in a single round, big numbers are awesome, but also because of how strategically advantageous it can be for your party, right? As most of you no doubt know, the first round or two of combat in D&D is often what's going to determine how the entire fight goes. If you can quickly get the odds in your favor by eliminating an enemy or two quickly, ideally before they have a chance to really do much harm to your party, you can get the action economy swinging in your favor, and after that things just kind of become mop-up time, right? So arguably, while sustainable damage is great, being able to go Nova early on in a fight might be more sound tactically. So these characters that we're going to talk about today are all built to do exactly that. Blow as many resources as they can to just do massive burst damage in a single round in the hopes of taking out one or sometimes multiple enemies so that your party can kind of coast to the finish line afterwards. And yes, for those wondering, I do tank builds as well. I just haven't had many of them recently, so many that it warranted creating a new tank ranking video, but catch the last one that I did here. And as for support, well, a lot of support builds I create are kind of made to also be burst or even more rarely sustained damage dealers, so they often will show up in these spreadsheets. But once in a while, I will do just kind of dedicated healers or controllers or party buffers, and for those, yeah, I don't keep spreadsheets on them because it's hard to quantify, but one day soon, hopefully, I'll get them organized into like a separate playlist or something so that you can still peruse them at your leisure and have all of them kind of together in one place. Before we get started, a quick explanation of how I rank these builds. It's an overly simplified equation. For each build, I calculate how much damage a character could potentially do in a single round in a best case scenario situation against an enemy armor class from 10 to 25. Sometimes I'll throw in enemy saving throws to those calculations as well if called for, right? I do that 4 times for each build, yeah, the damage reports at level 6, 9, 13, and 17. I then just take all of those calculations and average them into one big number. It's imperfect. It probably gives too much weight to very low and very high enemy ACs, and maybe even too much weight to higher levels, since most of us play the game up to level 10 or 12 or so, right, for most campaigns. And it doesn't give a true ranking of how, like, good or powerful the character is kind of overall, but it's simple, and it's easy, and it gives a decent snapshot or overview of the kind of damage a character is capable of in a single round of burst or Nova, right? And besides, giving an objective or even subjective tier grade for all of these builds feels pretty impossible without the ability to actually play each of them in game at every level, right? So we keep it simple, and I'm okay with that. Also, in case you didn't know, in the video description of each video, I post a link to the spreadsheets down below, right? Comparing all of my, in this case, burst damage builds to one another, and each of the builds is hyperlinked in those spreadsheets. So just click on the title of the build at the very top of the spreadsheet to get to the appropriate video. Okay. Before today, I had broken all 42 of my Nova builds done to date into three tiers for single target Nova damage dealers, plus a fourth tier exclusively for multi-target area of effect kind of builds, right? Today, we're creating a fourth tier for single target and then leaving that AoE tier in place as well. So we've got a total of five now. Let's start off with the AoE or multi-target burst damage dealers first. Coming in with a tier score of 75, build number 125, the Cantrip Blaster. This was one of my many, like, imposed self-restrictions in the name of character, or at the very least, in an experiment to see how far we could stretch a concept kind of builds, right? The concept here being, what if we could only do damage with our cantrips? I mean, arguably, the most powerful spells in the game are control or buff or debuff spells, right? Your wall of forces and your hypnotic patterns and your fears, not damage-dealing ones. So, for this build, hey, let's build a character who deals great cantrip damage, letting them save their spell slots for the thing that they should probably be using their spell slots for anyways, I figure. This one was mostly an evocation wizard with a death cleric dip to maximize Toll the Dead. Fighter levels for action surge, you're definitely going to be hearing a lot of that with my Nova damage dealing characters especially, and also some alchemist artificer levels to really boost our cantrips a titch more. Fun experiment, pretty effective at tolling the dead on two enemies for decent damage when they needed to. Up next with a tier score of 107, we've got build number 65, the Ascendant Dragon Monk. I don't think there's been a subclass that I was more excited for, nor one that I was more disappointed by than the Ascendant Dragon Monk. Two of my favorite things in one single character, dragons and monks. Yes, please. Alas, Wizards of the Coast didn't quite stick the landing on this one, I don't think. That said, I don't think it's as bad as some people claim. We really tried here with this build to lean into the whole, instead of make attacks, do dragon breath attack-like things with this character, right? We were a dragonborn, we took some fighter and eventually cleric levels to do some max lightning damage breath attacks. And, you know, it was pretty fun. And their burst was doable a lot more frequently than most other burst damage builds that I make, so it was almost a bit of a multi-target burst slash sustained damage kind of thing. But anyway, we did our best. Up next with a tier score of 110, build number 109, the Mind Flayer. This was my attempt to satisfy the oft-repeated request of combining the Aberrant Mind Sorcerer with the Fathomless Warlock to create, like, the ultimate tentacled monstrosity. The play here was to be both a controller and a burst damage dealer, using web or later black tentacles and restraining and slowing enemies while you blasted away at them with Eldritch Blast and even eventually Fireball. It was fun conceptually and pretty effective mechanically as well. Up next, with a tier score of 112, build number 134, the Swordsbard Cleaver. This was a character who tried to, like, stack every way I could to do damage to two enemies standing right next to each other. So, Slashing Flourish, Green Flame Blade, Battlemaster Maneuvers, Hunter Ranger, Horde Breaker, etc., etc. It ends up working pretty great when you do have a couple of enemies standing next to one another, and is a cool image and concept, I think. Plus, I mean, you get to be mostly a bard and still be awesome outside of your two-target Nova round stuff, so fun build. Up next, with a tier score of 120, we have build number 152, Law and Disorder, my build from just a couple of weeks ago. Maybe it's just because it's fresh on my mind, but man, I really loved this build more than most. I just think it would be a lot of fun to play at the table, where you're both doing some okay Nova damage yourself, but then also adding to that Nova round by triggering reaction attacks from your two hardest hitting allies with a combination of Dissonant Whispers and Voice of Authority. I just think that your allies will love this character as much or maybe even more than you do, and that's always fun, right? My favorite thing about the build, though, was the concept of combining the chaos of Wild Magic Sorcerer together with the Control Freak Order Cleric. I think it would make for some great roleplay and storytelling, and I just love the potential here. Up next, with a tier score of 207, now that's a big jump, right? Build number 44, the Evocation Blaster. This character, yeah, does a lot more damage consistently all of a sudden, and honestly, it's because it's the first one on the list who just focuses on doing damage above all, and not really bringing a lot of support or control to the fight.
Dragon Monk.
Of course, being mostly a wizard, I mean, they naturally do have a ton of potential control options available to them once they're done bursting, but that's beside the point. We are here to Fireball and Meteor and just turn everything to ash. We're a mostly wizard here with a little fighter for action surge and armor. This build is kind of like the nuker's nuker. Straightforward and super explodey. And then finally, leading the way in the AoE tier, we have, with a tier score of 210, build number 103, the Burst of Light. This was my quest to answer the question, is the Light Cleric really as good a nuker as people seem to think? Answer, yeah, they are. Sure, we don't get to sculpt spells like the Evoker, but we do get to add Spirit Guardians, and that just helps take our AoE, burst, and sustain damage, actually, out of the reach of where the Evoker can get to. Oh, and they do have the added benefit of bringing all that fantastic cleric support as well, since this one was full cleric after a couple of fighter levels. Alright, so on to the single target tiers, bringing up the rear here in tier 4. With a tier score of 67, build number 105, the Poison Dart Frog. People have been asking me to do a Grung build since, like, I first started the channel, as well as asking me to build around the lowly blowgun weapon. And I finally caved and tried to combine both into a single build. The results were okay. A couple levels of Artificer for the repeating shot infusion, and then the rest actually Samurai Fighter here. It made for a fun concept, lots of poison damage, and they could repeat that burst damage with some regularity. So though the numbers were low comparatively, they were a little more repeatable than a lot of other builds, and the single target damage was decent as well. Up next, with a tier score of 69, nice, build number 117, the Quickened Blade. One of my many builds that sought to take advantage of the rogues can sneak attack a second time per round if they can get an attack with their reaction thing, right? This one was done via some sorcerer levels to let us cast haste on ourselves so that we could make a hasted weapon attack, then ready our action to attack with our reaction, right? Burst damage came via quickened spell, booming blade, stepping away from our target without danger via swashbuckler levels, and then action surge with the inevitable fighter dip eventually, but honestly, the sustained damage here would be pretty good with just the haste spell, right? Making two sneak attack loaded attacks every single round would honestly be pretty effective in game, I think, making for a nice gishy swashbuckler. Up next, with a tier score of 70, we have build number 50, the Whippoorwill. My first ever attempt to build around the underused whip. Also, my first Arakocra, and my only, so far, video where I spelled out the build live with my friend Randall Hampton, letting him draw the character as I explained how it all worked, right? With a little help from the Twitch audience. It was a lot of fun, though it did go pretty long due to the format. This was another one of those slightly lower burst damage, but something you can do with a little more frequency builds. We took a couple of Paladin levels for Smite, then the rest Arcane Trickster Rogue and Whispers Bard to make some big, smitey, sneak attacky, psychic blades-infused whipcracks from on high against our poor Earthbound foes. Up next, with a tier score of 71, we have build number 124, the Four Elements Avatar. That poor Four Elements Monk. One of the lowliest subclasses that, again, is so cool conceptually, but in practice, as with most things Monk in D&D 5e, it just falls a little flat. But again, I don't think it's unsalvageable, and this was my attempt to prove that theory. We were water-whipping enemies to knock them prone, then, thanks to some Battlemaster fighter levels, pummeling them with superiority dice, unarmed strikes, and lots of attacks. Later, we were even taking druid levels to push them through spike growth with Fist of Unbroken Air. I think we built something that could hang on to the really fun conceptual stuff of being an avatar-like bender, right? But still putting out some fairly decent burst damage while we were at it. I'm actually pretty proud of how far we were able to stretch this one, honestly. Up next, with a tier score of 75, build number 99, the Thunderball. Another fun character conceptually. This was your 007 wannabe infiltrator armorer trying to take advantage of the fact that the lightning launcher weapon that we were using as an armorer, right, did lightning damage. So let's couple that with max damage from Tempest Cleric and see what we can do. In the end, the burst isn't amazing, at least not until we get a few Arcane Trickster Rogue levels under our belt to add some sneak attack damage into the mix. But it definitely brought a lot of skill and spell versatility and utility with them into the damage mix, so could work pretty effectively in game, I think. Then we've got, with a tier score of 83, build number 114, the Werewolf. My second ever attempt to use Critical Role's Bloodhunter class, this time as a Halloween special werewolf-like character. We were a Lycan Bloodhunter mixed with a little Battlemaster fighter and even a bit of monk to really try and get the most and most effective unarmed werewolfy strikes that we could get in a Nova round. We were knocking them prone, pouncing on them in like a blood frenzy and striking fear into their hearts. I feel like it worked well, especially conceptually, though admittedly, in my experience with them thus far, Bloodhunter is by no means overpowered. Kudos to Matt Mercer for not giving into the temptation to add a lot of power creep into his homebrew. Up next, with a tier score of 96, we have build number 95, the Shadow Sorcerer. My favorite thumbnail of any video to date. Kudos to my friend Preston for this one, and most of the cool-looking thumbnails that I ever have on my channel. I think this might be, to date, my character build that's taken more level of Sorcerer than any other character. All but two levels for Fighter and Action Surge, of course, were Sorcerer here, and the real goal was to take advantage of the automatic disadvantage on saving throws that your Hound of Ill Omen gives in a big Nova round. Coupled with the Bane spell, it was really hurting enemy saving throws. So kind of a debuffer as well as a damage dealer here. We went from Lightning Bolt to Animate Objects to eventually Disintegrate for some big blasty castery fun. Up next, with a tier score of 100, build number 69. Nice. Again, the Swashbuckler Nova. This one was taking Battlemaster levels to get a really nice Nova round. We'd hit him with Booming Blade, applying Sneak Attack, then back away without taking an Opportunity Attack, because we're a Swashbuckler, right? Then, when they'd move up to us on their turn, they'd take Booming Blade damage for moving, and we would hit them with a reaction, thanks to Battlemaster maneuvers, for more Sneak Attack damage, right? It was elegant and painful for our enemies, anyways, just like any good Swashbuckler should be. Then we've got, with a tier score of 101, build number 129, the Catapult. This was my first, like, gimmick build on this Nova Damage list so far, I think. Man, I need more gimmicky Nova Damage builds. This was my attempt to answer the question, could we launch an enemy really high into the air with attacks or spells so that they would fall and take additional damage in a burst round? And if so, what would be the most damaging way to do such a thing? The answer, I think, as a genie divine soul sorlock with some rune knight fighter levels to hit and lift an enemy and then just blast them into the heavens with eldritch blast attacks. It would be awesome and hilarious when it worked, and it will surely make your DM groan every single combat encounter before too long as well, so maybe just play this one in a one shot. But that is it for tier 4. So on to tier 3. We have, coming in at the bottom of tier 3, with a tier score of 102, build number 87, the Whisperer, not to be confused with the Eldritch Whisperer. We'll get to that in a minute. This was me really trying to capitalize on the Whispers Bard more than anything, right? We had Hexblade levels for charisma-based attacks, and then later Eldritch Smite. Fighter for Action Surge as usual. Later, even Grave Cleric levels for Path to the Grave, and then just big damage with Booming Blade, Dissonant Whispers, and Opportunity Attacks. Applying all of our overriders like Psychic Blades, Eldritch Smite, etc. to hit as hard as possible. It wasn't much of a whisper, I suppose, with all that thunderous noise, but yeah, I love Gishy Bards. Up next, with a tier score of 102, build number 71, the Bardbarian. I'm actually kind of surprised to see this one rank even this high, honestly. Yeah, the Bardbarian, the Raging Metalhead. Something that everybody likes to joke about. It's kind of a meme in D&D, right? But most people secretly don't think it would be very effective. But they're wrong. A strength-based bard, dual-wielding axes, naturally, with some Zealot Barbarian levels, some Paladin levels for smiting, and yeah, they kind of unloaded with flourishes and smites and reckless raging swings of their axes. I still would really like to try this one out in-game, for sure. Up next, with a tier score of 103, build number 121, the One-Hit Wonder. Speaking of being surprised at how high a thing ranks, yeah, this build was my quest to answer the question, how much damage could we do with a character with just one single hit on a Nova round? This was a bit of a monstrosity. Paladin for Smite, Divine Soul Sorcerer for Quickened Spell and Spell Slots, Grave Cleric for Path to the Grave, Whispers Bard for Psychic Blades, and Genie Warlock for Genie's Wrath and a Familiar. We used a Maul, the Great Weapon Master feat, Path to the Grave with our action, and Quicken Booming Blade for a bonus action. Ka-boom. It was pretty spectacular, actually, and probably one of the only builds I've done that took five different classes. Yeah, crazy town. A lot of fun. Up next, with a tier score of 107, build number 145, the Arcane Trickster, a fairly recent one, and the first one on the list, I think, that was inspired by the Dungeon Dudes multi-classing tier ranking series. This one was me trying to go almost straight rogue, a difficult thing to stick to for the Optomancers of the world, I think. It was pretty straightforward. Two fighter levels, two paladin levels, you knock them prone with a booming blade, sneak attack, maneuver-infused hit on our turn, action surge, ready that action, and then smack them again with our reaction later in the round with like all the same stuff, right? It worked pretty well, and it got to have most of the rogue's goodies to boot. Up next, with a tier score of 108, at build number 60, the Master of the Storm. For the first year or so of this channel, the most popular request I got was, can you build a Storm Sorcerer mixed with Tempest Cleric? And to which I usually replied, I mean, I could, but why would I, right? The answer, of course, is for thematic reasons, more than for the numbers, since Storm Sorcerer isn't particularly awesome when it comes to the numbers, but you know what? They're not as bad as I originally thought. If you try and get creative around hitting an enemy with Booming Blade, flying away thanks to Storm Sorcerer, right? Hitting them for a max damage lightning spell, and then watching them take more damage for moving on their turn. It felt like a pretty creative approach to tackling an otherwise somewhat lackluster combo mechanically. And yeah, I was really pleased with the results. Up next, with a tier score of 110, build number 113, the Eldritch Whisperer. This build was sort of my attempt to answer the question, how many Eldritch Blasts could we conceivably get off in a single round if we tried so very hard? The answer, about 5,000. We were a great old one warlock here for the sake of getting access to Dissonant Whispers. We also got fighter levels for action surge, of course, and sorcerer for quickened spell and sorcery points, mostly. And in the end, we would just hit them with Eldritch Blast three times over the course of a round. Once with our bonus action, thanks to quickened spell, once with our action, and then once with our reaction as they ran away from our action surged Dissonant Whispers. 12 beams of Eldritch Blast plus Dissonant Whispers damage was, good fun. Up next, with a tier score of 111, build number 78, the Arcane Spellbow. This was my first and only, I think, attempt to try and make use of the Arcane Archer fighter subclass in a build. It's not mostly an Arcane Archer because, well, Arcane Archer is just really pretty crappy, rules as written, unfortunately. But if you can just take a few levels of them, then they can bring a lot to a build, I think. this might also be the only build I've ever done that just focuses on using a longbow as the weapon. Anyways, it was good fun. Mostly a genie warlock, actually, not Hexblade, and we were quick tossing a net for advantage, and then just unloading on an enemy, pushing them via the crusher feat and our Dao genie feature to pile on extra damage from the arcane archer's grasping arrow, right? And then even Eldritch Smite. It's the best build that I know of that uses Arcane Archer, anyways. And that's not nothing. Alright, up next, with a tier score of 113, build number 39, the Mercy Monk. 39, man. I thought this was a little more recent than that, at least. Has Tasha's really been out that long? Anyways, at the time, the Mercy Monk was a brand new subclass, and for maybe the first time, Wizards of the Coast seemed to kind of get it right with the monk a little bit here. The base class was still underpowered, but this new subclass had some pretty decent features. A heal, a little bonus damage, an easy to apply debuff. We just coupled them with some Battlemaster Fighter to knock them prone, give us some extra damage via superiority dice and action surge, and just pummel an enemy into the ground, applying some Hand of Harm damage and poisoning them when we could. I think we even took a little Hexblade near the end to get some Hex and Curse damage, but I don't know, doing so would have added a lot of bonus action bloat, actually, that wouldn't be all that effective in practice, I don't think. Man, monks really need a way to add damage to every hit that doesn't cost so many bonus actions. Anyways, up next with a tier score of 115, build number 120, the Time Wizard. This was kind of my attempt to build a strong single target burst damage wizard who was mostly full wizard. But we used the Chronurgist, not a subclass I've made a lot of use of, actually, and we were basically using Scorching Ray sometimes, Animate Objects other times, Disintegrate as well, debuffing enemies and just blasting them down. We got Lore Bard levels later, mostly because I wanted to get Crusader's Mantle for Animate Objects. And yeah, in the end, we had all kinds of versatility from a combination of spells as well as bard features and inspiration. It would be a fun and potent combo, I think. But that was leading the way for tier 3, so on to tier 2. With a tier score of 118, at the bottom of tier 2 we have build number 41, the Death Knight. This was my first ever use of Grave Cleric, I believe. I was really trying to build around Path to the Grave and be like self-sufficient with it and try to figure out, could we make it so that burning a whole action to give an enemy vulnerability and then using action surge so we could just attack on the same round, right? Would that actually be better than just attacking two more times if we had extra attack and action surge? The answer, I think, is yes, if you build for it. We had some Rune Knight fighter levels in there, some Paladin for Smite, but in the end we were mostly Cleric. So yeah, this might have been my first ever like big huge Nova damage capabilities, but then you're mostly a support character otherwise. To be fair, that's just kind of true because we did have like 5 fighter levels, right, and a couple of pally levels, so we were more of like a gishy support, to be sure. Up next with a tier score of 124, build number 130, the Flame Singer, aka Bladesinger 3.0. This build actually was a tad gimmicky in that we were trying to take advantage of the little bit of damage override you'd get from absorb elements if we intentionally hurt ourselves with Green Flame Blade to give us a bit of Nova damage burst. I mean, the real Nova damage was coming from our Battlemaster fighter levels, of course, with action surge. The Green Flame Blade absorb elements thing helped a little. Would I really build my character this way if I were to play a Bladesinger in-game right now, like I said in the video? I think probably. That changes from day to day, but as painful as delaying wizard levels can be on a Bladesinger, you really do get a lot from 3 fighter levels if you're more concerned about increasing your attack damage, right? More weapon proficiencies, a fighting style, constitution saving throw proficiency, battlemaster maneuvers. In the end, the sustained damage here was almost as good as the full Bladesinger, with some burst damage potential that that build didn't really have. So yeah, I think I just might go this route if I were going to play another Bladesinger in game. But that kind of segues into the next one with a tier score of 129, build number 52, the Bladesinger Nova. This was my first attempt at the concept of doing a Bladesinger like burst damage build, right? And to be fair, there are a lot of similarities between this build and the last. Almost 100 builds in between them, but the intent with this one was to get as many attacks on a Nova round with Shadowblade as I possibly could. And we did so by making use of the Quick Toss maneuver from Battlemaster Fighter again. I took fighter levels a lot earlier on this build in an attempt to emphasize the Nova damage, so we end up with a higher score there as a result for Nova, right? But yeah, very similar build to the one just before it. Just some slight differences in tactics and build order mostly. Probably don't need to watch both if you didn't want to. Up next with a tier score of 129, build number 57, the Catch-22. Man, I really loved this build. I think it was the first time I ever used Cloud of Daggers in a build, I think. And it was kind of a build that was like all over the place, but in the best way. I actually used this build in a one-shot that I did with the Dungeon Dudes and Treant Monk to celebrate hitting 30,000 subscribers. Again, all over the place. Divine Soul Sorcerer, Conquest Paladin, Rune Knight Fighter, and even some Whispers Bard later. The main shtick was to quicken a Cloud of Daggers behind the enemy, then make a big, huge Smite and Crusher-infused Booming Blade Maul attack to knock them into the cloud, and then on their next turn, they were kind of stuck in this place of, like, do I stay here in the Cloud of Daggers damage? Or do I move out of it, triggering the extra Booming Blade damage, right? That's the Catch-22. Conceptually, just so cool, I think, and a lot of fun to play in-game as well. Up next with a tier score of 133, build number 30, the Needler. Here's another one that I was just, like, so proud of at the time. I guess I still kind of am. I think it was the first time that I decided to take up the challenge of building around what most would consider a suboptimal weapon, right? In this case, the dart. It was just fun to find something unique about the weapon, the fact that it was the only thrown weapon that was actually a ranged weapon, not a melee weapon, right? And then trying to take advantage of that with Sharpshooter and actually the net, so the first time I ever used a net in a build too. We had Gloomstalker Ranger levels, Battlemaster Fighter so that we could quick toss that net, right? And eventually some Assassin Rogue too. It worked incredibly well, and I was super pleased with that fact, considering the unconventional tools that I kind of force myself to use, I guess. Up next with a tier score of 142, build number 128, the War Priest. I can't believe how long it took me to use the War Cleric in a build, but yeah, almost 3 years. This is the first time, I think. The thing about the War Cleric that's so frustrating is that the bonus action attack that they get, which is sort of like the main thing about War Clerics, right? It's so limited in use, it would kind of just be much easier to just get the Polearm Master feat so that you could have a bonus action attack every round instead of a few times a day. But I should probably mention, Baldur's Gate 3, take a drink, has definitely taught me that the bonus action attack granted by the Great Weapon Master feat, if you have it, triggers quite a bit. And so maybe between that and some supplementing from War Cleric, you might be okay most of the time and get a bonus action attack, right? Depending on how many fights you get per long rest, I guess. Anyways, we ended up with a fair amount of Ancients Paladin levels here, as well as the inevitable Fighter Dip for Action Surge, and it made for, like, one heck of a burst damage dealing, tanky, amazing support character that any party would love to have on their team, I think. Up next with a tier score of 143, build number 27, the Lockedon Bard. This one has a very special place in my heart for a couple of reasons. First, I think it was the first burst damage build I ever did. I mean, I had done tank and support characters even before attempting a build for Nova damage, I guess. But also because it's the build that I basically decided to play in campaign with my friends for a couple of years, the lovely Ceridon, for those who watched that. This was, yeah, a Hexblade with some Paladin and then some Whispers Bard for lots of big, smitey deliciousness. Think of it maybe like a Crypt Fisher Hexblade. With Elven Accuracy and Hexblade's Curse up, you're sitting at like a 25% chance to crit and could just unload with massive damage overriders when you did to just absolutely annihilate stuff. So much fun. Next up, with a tier score of 143, build number 81, the Swords Bard. My first ever, I think, melee-focused Swords Bard. I remember being pretty surprised at just how hard this could hit, coupled with some Vengeance Pally and, yeah, a Fighter Dip later on. we were smiting really hard, really often, two up and fighting with advantage and adding those flourishes, and it was really impressive. Not to mention letting you, again, be mostly a bard, which is always a good time. Up next, with a tier score of 144, build number 139, the Supernova Moon. You know what? I remember this one being higher on the charts. I guess it used to be tier 1, and now it's just like the very top of tier 2 here. But yeah, I guess it's outpacing every other build that I've ever done at that first damage report, anyways, at level 6. So maybe that's why it stands out so much for me. This was a Dungeon Dudes inspired challenge, combining Moon Druid with Paladin, and holy cow, does it blow stuff up. Especially, like I say, in those early levels. No surprise with how good Moon Druid is at level 2, right? We were a bugbear for big round 1 Nova damage, had some fighter levels, of course, but we're mostly Druid, and we just blew stuff up with our smitey bear claws. No real setup required, and being mostly a Druid meant that we were tanky, supporty, and bursty, all in one lovely character. Muy poderoso. But that takes us to Tier 1. So, bringing up the rear here with a tier score of 144, build number 86, the Gloomstalker. My first real, like, let's just build the best Gloomstalker we can build character. This one was also a bugbear. It used a rifle, my first ever gun-using character, maybe. Had some assassin and fighter levels, of course, and just blew stuff to smithereens right on round 1. If you could get surprise on your enemy, which I didn't assume, for the record, if I had, then this would be very near the top of tier 1 once we got those assassin levels anyways. Up next with a tier score of 152, build number 142, the Flurry of Darkness. This was kind of my attempt to just get as many weapon attacks in a single round as possible. There are ways that we could have eked out one or two more by the end, but the damage would have been worse by comparison, I think, so I was happy that we ended up where we did. This was another Dungeon Dudes inspired build combining Monk and Ranger. We went Drunken Master for the Monk subclass, actually, my first and so far only time doing so. Some Gloomstalker Ranger. Man, this kind of feels like the place where all the Gloomstalkers hang out. We had Echo Knight Fighter levels for even more attacks, and then even some Spores Druid levels to add a little extra damage to all of those attacks that we were doing, right? In the end, we were making 10 attacks over the course of a Nova round, all adding a ton of damage on top. Super fun. Then we've got, with a tier score of 171, build number 63, the Oath of Vengeance, the Vengeance Pally. So, yeah, over a year before I did my first Vengeance Paladin. Also kind of crazy. I just wasn't a huge fan of Vengeance until I decided to try to build them for burst damage, and then it made a lot more sense why people go cuckoo for the subclass. It was fairly straightforward kind of Polar Master smite build with some first ever, I think, Echo Knight Fighter. I don't know if that's true, for even more attacks, and yeah, eventually haste. This one smites with the best of them, and gets to enjoy all that sweet pally support and spellcasting to boot. Up next, with a tier score of 173, build number 74, the Nuclear Wizard, aka the Will Wheaton build. Yeah, I definitely did not invent the concept of the Nuclear Wizard, but I tried to improve on it a little bit and ultimately do as much damage as possible without depending on the dice for it to work, I guess. That was kind of the main thing, right? I just wanted to do damage without a chance to potentially miss or for an enemy to make a save or whatever. We were an Evocation Wizard and a Hexblade Warlock, cursing our target and then just upcasting Magic Missile as high as possible while also taking advantage of the no-roll automatic damage from Cloud of Daggers, which we were shoving people into with a telekinetic feat. Super reliable, very user-friendly, on-demand burst damage. And, I mean, yeah, you're mostly a wizard, so there are always lots of great options outside of your Nova round as well. Alright, coming down the home stretch here, tier score of 179, build number 45, the Flamethrower. This build works really well. It does incredible burst damage and really wasn't, like, super gimmicky at all or have a lot of caveats for it to work as advertised. It was just a straight-up single-target spell blaster. Mostly Draconic Sorcerer with a little fighter dip, a little Hexblade dip for Hexblade's Curse, and later some Tempest Cleric, actually. And we were just hexing and or Hexblade cursing our target and just unloading with the highest level Scorching Ray or rays that we could muster. One potential drawback with it is that at level 9, it took 2 rounds to set up before it was firing, no pun intended, on all cylinders if we wanted to use both Hexblade's Curse and Hex, or later Spirit Shroud. But it still would hit like a ton of bricks, even on round one, if you wanted to just curse them or just hex them. Action Surge plus Scorching Ray with a damage overrider or two just really smacks. Up next, with a tier score of 189, build number 5, the Assassiner. Those names that I was coming up with in the beginning, so bad. Okay, yes, actually, this was my first ever burst damage build for the channel. But it was almost more like me saying, look how stupid it is to build a character for burst damage. I was so naive. Because, yeah, at level 20, right, this build could theoretically do over 1,000 damage in a single turn if you were an Assassin Rogue with Sorcerer, Paladin, and Gloomstalker levels, anyways. I think Gloomstalker was still in Unearthed Arcana at the time, but yeah, this would have been my first Gloomstalker. Anyway, we were upcasting Shadowblade and smiting with it, and yeah, I was assuming that we had surprise in the damage calculations, so you kind of have to take these numbers with a grain of salt, right? It was a monstrosity, but I loved this little Frankenstein baby, regardless. Up next, with a tier score of 215, build number 92, the one I hate the most on this list, the Shepherd Druid. Yeah, this was me finally caving in and building a character around the overpowered and broken Conjure Animal spell, a spell that I'm so glad is being changed for 1D&D in 2024. And I think in protest, just to prove how broken that spell was, I even refused to make like any attacks or anything with this character. We just went full Shepherd Druid Kobold, summoned as many deep Rothe animals as possible, used Draconic Cry for advantage, and then just ran away and hid in a bush while our conjured animals just killed everything in sight. And for a while, it was kind of the hardest hitting Nova damage character I'd ever made, and it made me so mad. Hardest hitting, that is, until we were fighting humanoids, in which case the Critlander was a long-standing champion with a tier score of 228, build number 54. This was an attempt to take as much advantage as possible against the paralyzed condition inflicted by the Hold Person spell, so we went mostly Divine Soul and Devotion Sorcadin with some Echo Knight Fighter to just like quicken the Hold Person spell and then unleash with as many Great Weapon Master and Divine Smite infused attacks against that paralyzed target as we possibly could for some insane automatic crit Nova damage. I wish I could have gotten to hold Monster on this build so that it would just work on like almost everything. You could get there, but obviously would have to sacrifice extra attack and action surge if you wanted to get there as quickly as possible anyways, and it just didn't work all that well as a result until like very late game. If you were playing a high level one shot, or if your DM let you respec, or if you're playing VG3, yeah, this thing would just destroy. But then, topping the charts for all burst damage builds to date, we have, with a tier score of 240, build number 135, fairly recent, the Assassin's Creed. This was kind of my Assassiner 2.0, and also my attempt to get quadruple damage in a burst round by combining a guaranteed critical hit with the double damage from vulnerability thanks to Grave Cleric. Obviously, it works fantastically well if you can get surprise, and is totally the way that I would build an assassin if I ever brought another one to the table, I think. This was another monstrosity: rogue, cleric, paladin, sorcerer, fighter, right? Five classes. Huge, massive, booming blade, divine smite, superiority, dice-infused, quadruple damage attacks, and man, it would be so fun to just one-shot a dragon with this build someday, if you could get the drop on him. But that is the end of the burst damage characters. Thank you guys so much for going on this journey with me. I had a blast, pun intended this time, taking the trip down memory lane. The only downside is that it reminded me of some builds that I'd kind of forgotten about a little bit, and now my next play list is all screwed up again. I hope that you have a fantastic new year. I'm so excited to see what 2024 is going to bring for us. Lots of cool changes in store, right? So thank you guys so much for all that you do. I love you. I hope that you will do good and be kind and stay safe. And I hope that I will see you again really soon. But until then, take care. Yeah, sorry, no outtakes today. I'm trying to get this done before Christmas, so I have no time. Editing is super light, and yeah, this is all you get for the outtake, so